This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is The Property Show. This is where we look at issues related to the property sector and home ownership. Now, on today's show, we're going to be discussing buying residential property on the secondary market for first-time home buyers. Shazana Mokhtar speaks to Siva Shankar, Head of Investments at Axis REIT and past president of the Malaysian Institute of Real Estate Agents.
Thanks for joining us today, Siva.
Thank you very much.
So help us understand the difference between the primary and secondary property market.
Okay, the property market in Malaysia or in anywhere else in the world is very clearly divided into two sectors, which is the primary market and the secondary market. Now, the primary market is really properties that are launched and sold by developers, which means that nobody owns them. The developer sells the property and the guy who purchases it becomes the initial, the first owner. In the secondary market is properties that have been bought from the primary market and then at some point or the other is being sold by the current owner to a second or third or fourth owner.
So for the first time home buyer, should they be looking at the primary or secondary market?
Oh, there are pros and cons to everything. You know, they all have some benefits as well as some not so great things. And it depends entirely. It's very difficult to answer this question. This question has no answer, really. Some of the things that you could get in the primary market, you wouldn't get in the secondary market. Like, for instance, your property would be brand new, which means the look and feel and the design and the branding of it would be current now. You probably have to pay less deposits and to a large extent, the developer may take care of some of your expenses for you, like your sale and purchase, your agreement fees, your legal fee, your stamp duties. Some of those things may be taken care of. But in the secondary market, you need to pay the full whack of deposits. And there's no one to take care of those things for you. And of course, with the secondary market, you get a property that's already been built, which means you can see it, you can touch it, you can feel it. You know what the neighborhood looks like. You know who lives next door. You know what's in front of you. So there are pros and cons to everything.
Do you think that first-time home buyers overlook the potential opportunities in the secondary market?
Well, for a long time now, the primary market has been the preferred mode of purchase for potential house buyers, and simply because in the last many years, developers have thrown in a lot of freebies. So sometimes, you know, if you don't have so much of savings, you are able to still buy a property from the developer because you got all sorts of freebies thrown in and you got a lot of free things. And so, therefore, the down payment that you had to pay was very little. And that sort of encouraged a lot of people to go into the primary market. So, yes, to answer your question, they have been neglecting the secondary market to some extent because my experience is that sometimes in the secondary market, you can find properties valued 30%, 20%, even 40% below what the developer properties, the primary market was selling, simply because maybe they were a little bit older, the look and feel it wasn't as modern as it should be. But, you know, if you're a first-time home buyer and you're struggling to be able to buy your house, you should be driven by money more than all these other things.
Right. And I suppose secondary market homes have that advantage of being in more mature residences as well, where perhaps the amenities are better or the facilities are better, despite being perhaps not as modern or up to date as some of the newer developments.
That's true, because when you buy a property in a taman that has been lived in for 10 years or 20 years, you know, you get all the amenities. You got your provision shop, your laundry, your restaurants, maybe your pet shop, your stationery shop. They're all there. And so you move into a neighborhood that has fairly established itself. Whereas if you go and buy properties in a brand new taman, sometimes you have to wait several years before these things come in. So it's not, one is not right and the other is not wrong. they're just different.
Right. Why do you think first-time home buyers overlook opportunities in the secondary market, especially if they're from maybe the millennial generation or Generation Y? What are they looking for in their first home?
Sometimes I think the Gen Y and the millennials are looking for the wrong things. I think they focus a lot more on branding, look and feel, and glitz and glamour. They're so focused on this that they lose touch with the fact that they have limited financial abilities to purchase properties. And therefore, they overlook the older properties in the secondary market, which, like I said just now, they may be able to get for 20, 30 or even 40% less, right? So I feel that the young ones should try and focus a little bit more on affordability rather than glitz and glamour. And if you bought your first home purchase will not necessarily be your last. So don't go and try and buy that mansion in the sky on your first purchase. You won't be able to afford it. So what the average person does is he says, well, I can't afford it, so I'll wait and save a bit more money. But by the time he saved a little bit more money over the next few years, the price of that property has gone up and he's still unable to afford it. And this chase can continue your whole life. So the idea would be to buy something cheaper, something you may not necessarily be absolutely in love with, but still livable, good property, buy it. And that becomes your hedge against inflation. Because as the price of the new properties go up, the price of your property goes up as well. And then in a few years, you sell this, put a bit more savings into the kitty and buy a slightly bigger property. And then in a few years, you can sell that and buy a slightly bigger property. This is what I like to call as trading up. And in the average lifespan of a person, I think you can trade up 3, 4, or maybe 5 times and then end up with a really nice property that you're absolutely in love with.
So when it comes to getting on the property ladder, the strategy is to begin from a low base and build from there, rather than aiming high from the start.
That's right. And that's why a lot of properties remain unaffordable to many, because they're chasing something that they simply cannot afford and they refuse to look at cheaper options, which are there really if you look for it.
I've always imagined that searching for listings in the secondary market is harder and more time intensive compared to property in the primary market. I mean, for the primary market, developers have the marketing and advertising advantage.
Yeah, absolutely true. But it's not as hard as you think, because most secondary properties are being marketed by estate agents. So all you have to do is go and find an estate agent who is competent in the area that you are looking at, or is someone known to you and has come to you through recommendations, and he'll work hard at trying to find a property for you. And the best of all is this: if you ask him to help you search for a property and eventually you find one, you don't even have to pay him a fee, because he's usually retained by the vendor. So you, as the purchaser, get the service of an estate agent without actually having to pay for one. So it's, you know, you get your cake and you eat it.
When it comes to estate agents, talk a little bit more about their role and how a first-time homebuyer would go about securing their services.
All right. The estate agent in Malaysia is regulated by an Act of Parliament. Yeah? And they come under the Board of Valuers, Appraisers, Estate Agents and Property Managers, which is a board run under the Ministry of Finance. So every estate agent in Malaysia is registered with this board. And the estate agent then employs salespeople who are in this country called real estate negotiators. And these guys are also registered with the board. There is a lot that they can do to help you. Many of them specialize in certain locations, and they're actually quite knowledgeable in those locations that they work in. So the idea is for you as a home buyer or potential home buyer, when you go and look for these estate agents, always remember the most important thing is go and get estate agents who are registered. There are a lot of illegal. I estimate for every one registered person, there's another 2 illegal brokers running around. Be very careful who you ask to help you, because many hundreds of people have lost deposits and lost their money, and then the agent just runs away. So if you stick with the registered estate agent, he may be able to help you. Choose somebody who is well-versed in the location that you want to buy a property in, or choose somebody who is either a good friend or a friend recommended by someone else. Then the motivation for them to work hard for you is there, because it becomes personal.
How can we verify whether a real estate agent is registered or not?
Every estate agent and real estate negotiator in this country has a tag that they're supposed to wear during their working hours, during the time when they're at work. You can ask them for the tag. Always ask them for the tag. And if they don't have one, then you know your spider sense should start tingling. You can also go to the website run by the board and key in their name, and their name and face should pop up. And so you can make sure that they are registered. If you're not sure, you can always call the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents, and they would be able to help you. Help tell you whether they're registered or not.
That's the website of the Board of Valuers, Appraisers, Estate Agents and Property Managers at www.lppeh.gov.my.
We'll be back with more on the Property Show after a quick break. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us, and you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han. Now, Shazana Mokhtar is speaking to Siva Shankar, Head of Investments at Axis REIT and the past president of the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents. Now, in this half of the program, they discuss more advice for first-time home buyers as well as options in the rental market.
We were talking a little earlier about buying a property on the secondary market, especially for first-time home buyers. Siva, you also wanted to remind first-time buyers about the costs involved in buying a house, whether it's in the primary or secondary market.
Okay, buying a house is not an easy thing to do. It's easily the biggest investment you'll ever make. Yeah. And most people make the fatal mistake of thinking that if the bank lends them 20%, if the bank lends them 80%, then all they have to do is come up with 20%. So they buy a property for 500,000, and they have 100,000 in hand, and they think that's done. But they've overlooked many things. You need to pay stamp duties. You need to pay legal fees for the preparation of the sale and purchase agreement. You need to pay legal fees for the preparation of the loan documentation. There's all sorts of incidental costs and disbursements that need to be paid. So you need to factor all these things in. And those things can easily, for a $500,000 property, they can easily come to another $40,000, $50,000. Then if you buy something in the secondary market, you must remember you're not buying something brand new. So the house may be run down. It may need a bit of repairs. You may need to put in new cabinets and closets. So you need to have some money set aside for those things, because otherwise you end up with an issue because you've moved into a house which is not ready for you yet. So always try and remember that the initial 20 or 30% deposit is important, but you need to be able to set aside money for all these other things. And hence the problem, because by the time you add it all up, it does come to a fairly large amount of money, which is why really a lot of properties in Malaysia now have become unaffordable to everybody.
So it's never just that initial price tag. There's always hidden costs or extra costs that just add up to the whole expense being way over budget.
That's
or
right.
Way more than
That's
what
right.
we can afford.
They're not hidden. It's very, very transparent. You know exactly what the costs are. And like I said earlier, a good estate agent will be able to help you highlight those things. So they're not hidden costs, but they're costs and they're there.
Overlooked costs.
Overlooked in many instances.
Traditionally in our society, owning property has always been the prevailing principle. But amid talk of the limited supply of affordable housing, there are calls for more attention to be paid to the rental market. Do you agree with this assertion? And should the government be looking to encourage renting?
Yes, I completely agree with this. If you stop the average Malaysian on the street and ask him whether he has aspirations to buy a house, nearly everyone will say yes. We're different from the Western society. In the Western society, a lot of people don't really care about buying a house. They're happy to rent all their lives. But the average Malaysian is not. But most people cannot afford to buy a house straight away. They'll have to rent for years before they're even able to buy a house. So yes, I think this is a sector of the market that we need to focus on. And there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot that the government can do. But I think the market in the last few years has been oversupplied. The residential market has been oversupplied. A lot of people have bought properties on speculation, on as investments, hoping that when it's completed, they'll sell it and make 20, 30, 40% profit. But that has not necessarily come through because the market has, number one, softened, and number two, it's oversupplied. So what will happen in reality is many of these people who put up their properties for sale and are unable to find a potential buyer will have no choice but to put up the property for rent because the mortgage has kicked in and they have to pay the mortgage. So you will find that already, it's already happening now, a lot of these properties are gradually being put into the market for rent. And of course, then what happens is there's going to be a price war on the rent. There's going to be a price war on the rent. And you find that the rents are starting to fall now already. That's been happening now in the last 2 or 3 years. And I think it'll continue to happen in the next few years. So if you are in the renting market, I think you're the champion. You are going to be the winner because you're going to be able to get a nice apartment, brand new, great look and feel, fantastic facilities for maybe 20 or 30% less, or maybe even 40% less than what was the official original projected rents.
Do you think there are enough properties in the rental market to cater to the demand for affordable housing?
I don't know whether there is enough in the affordable housing. It's a question mark that no one can answer because up to now, we can't even agree on what is affordable housing. There has been some loose definitions, but these margins, they keep moving. You talk to different people, you get different opinions. But I think maybe not so much the affordable housing. I think there's a lack of it. But the mid-market, I think, yes, there's plenty there to be had for the average middle manager and his wife with a couple of kids. They could find some good properties to rent and perhaps they can use that while they save up to buy.
Okay, so renting might be a viable option for the M40, for those with a little bit more income to spend on actually yes. investing in a home. Yeah. But how do you think the rental market could be used to benefit the B40?
The B40 is a tougher nut to crack. These are people who barely making ends meet. They're just kais pagi makan pagi situation. And I think they really don't have the ability to save up enough money, most of them anyway, don't have enough ability to save up money to pay deposits. So perhaps one of the best things we could do is the good old rent-to-own scheme. And for this to be successful, I think the state needs to take a hand because otherwise, you know, somebody must take a bit of a beating for this to happen. So how this works is, let's say you're paying 2,500 ringgit in rent a month, which they may jointly, collectively, they may be able to pay, or 2,000 ringgit a month. Assuming 1,000 ringgit went towards your deposit and the other 1,000 went towards your rent, and in 5 years, you would have paid 60,000 ringgit. And now that 60,000 ringgit gets converted into being your initial deposit. And then you went out there, got a bank loan for the balance and paid for the property, and the property is now yours. It's very simplistic. I make it sound simplistic. It's not. It needs a bit of structure. It needs a system and a process, but it can be done.
We were talking a little earlier about buying a property on the secondary market, especially for first-time home buyers. Siva, you also wanted to remind first-time buyers about the costs involved in buying a house, whether it's in the primary or secondary market.
Okay, buying a house is not an easy thing to do. It's easily the biggest investment you'll ever make. Yeah. And most people make the fatal mistake of thinking that if the bank lends them 20%, if the bank lends them 80%, then all they have to do is come up with 20%. So they buy a property for 500,000 and they have 100,000 in hand and they think that's done. But they've overlooked many things. You need to pay stamp duties. You need to pay legal fees for the preparation of the sale and purchase agreement. You need to pay legal fees for the preparation of the loan documentation. There's all sorts of incidental costs and disbursements that need to be paid. So you need to factor all these things in. And those things can easily, for a $500,000 property, they can easily come to another $40,000, $50,000. And then if you buy something in the secondary market, you must remember you're not buying something brand new. So the house may be run down. It may need a bit of repairs. You may need to put in new cabinets and closets. So you need to have some money set aside for those things, because otherwise you end up with an issue because you've moved into a house which is not ready for you yet. So always try and remember that the initial 20 or 30% deposit is important, but you need to be able to set aside money for all these other things. And hence the problem, because by the time you add it all up, it does come to a fairly large amount of money, which is why really a lot of properties in Malaysia now have become unaffordable to everybody.
So it's never just that initial price tag. There's always hidden costs or extra costs that just add up to the whole expense being way over budget.
That's
or
right.
way more than
That's
what
right.
we can afford.
They're not hidden. It's very, very transparent. You know exactly what the costs are. And like I said earlier, a good estate agent will be able to help you highlight those things. So they're not hidden costs, but they're costs and they're there.
Overlooked costs.
Overlooked in many instances.
Traditionally in our society, owning property has always been the prevailing principle. But amid talk of the limited supply of affordable housing, there are calls for more attention to be paid to the rental market. Do you agree with this assertion? And should the government be looking to encourage renting?
Yes, I completely agree with this. If you stop the average Malaysian on the street and ask him whether he has aspirations to buy a house, nearly everyone will say yes. We're different from the Western society. In the Western society, a lot of people don't really care about buying a house. They're happy to rent all their lives. But the average Malaysian is not. But most people cannot afford to buy a house straight away. They'll have to rent for years before they're even able to buy a house. So yes, I think this is a sector of the market that we need to focus on. And there's a lot that we can do. There's a lot that the government can do. But I think the market in the last few years has been oversupplied. The residential market has been oversupplied. A lot of people have bought properties on speculation, as investments, hoping that when it's completed, they'll sell it and make 20, 30, 40% profit. But that has not necessarily come through because the market has, number one, softened, and number two, it's oversupplied. So what will happen in reality is many of these people who put up their properties for sale and are unable to find a potential buyer will have no choice but to put up the property for rent because the mortgage has kicked in and they have to pay the mortgage. So you will find that it's already happening now. A lot of these properties are gradually being put into the market for rent. And of course, then what happens is there's going to be a price war on the rent. There's going to be a price war on the rent. And you find that the rents are starting to fall now already. That's been happening now in the last 2 or 3 years. And I think it'll continue to happen in the next few years. So if you are in the renting market, I think you're the champion. You are going to be the winner because you're going to be able to get a nice apartment, brand new, great look and feel, fantastic facilities for maybe 20 or 30% less, or maybe even 40% less than what was the official original projected rents.
Do you think there are enough properties in the rental market to cater to the demand for affordable housing?
I don't know whether there is enough in the affordable housing. It's a question mark that no one can answer because up to now, we can't even agree on what is affordable housing. There has been some loose definitions, but these margins, they keep moving. You talk to different people, you get different opinions. But I think maybe not so much the affordable housing. I think there's a lack of it. But the mid-market, I think, yes, there's plenty there to be had for the average middle manager and his wife with a couple of kids. They could find some good properties to rent, and perhaps they can use that while they save up to buy.
Okay. So renting might be a viable option for the M40, for those with a little bit more income to spend on actually yes. investing in a home. Yeah. But how do you think the rental market could be used to benefit the B40?
The B40 is a tougher nut to crack. These are people who barely making ends meet. They're just kais pagi makan pagi situation. And I think they really don't have the ability to save up enough money. Most of them, anyway, don't have enough ability to save up money to pay deposits. So perhaps one of the best things we could do is the good old rent to own scheme. And for this to be successful, I think the state needs to take a hand, because otherwise, somebody must take a bit of a beating for this to happen. So how this works is, let's say you're paying 2,500 ringgit in rent a month, which they may jointly, collectively, they may be able to pay, or 2,000 ringgit a month. Assuming 1,000 ringgit went towards your deposit and the other 1,000 went towards your rent, and in 5 years, you would have paid 60,000 ringgit. And now that 60,000 ringgit gets converted into being your initial deposit. And then you went out there, got a bank loan for the balance, and paid for the property, and the property is now yours. It's very simplistic. I make it sound simplistic. It's not. It needs a bit of structure. It needs a system and a process, but it can be done.
That was Siva Shankar, Head of Investments at Axis REIT, and also the past president of the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents, speaking to BFM's very own Shazana Mokhtar. That's all the time we have on the Property Show this week. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up, followed by Enterprise. I'm Tan Chung Han, signing off for the Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.